to be crucified to the world, to take up our cross and follow Christ. Crucifixion is a word they invented after the Romans invented the cross. They had to invent this word crucifixion and the word excruciation, which is from the same root, to describe what a person feels when they're on the cross. It's challenging. It's tough sometimes to surrender to Christ. It's a fight. You have to labor to surrender when he puts his finger on your life and says, no, this is what I want from you. And you know what? That's the point that separates true believers from those who simply taste and go away. You've heard the parable of the sower and the seed. Not all the seed took root and bore fruit. A lot of it was carried away, swept away, dried up, and withered. Hebrews 5:13 says, everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. There's some things in the word of God that are tough when he calls us to take up our cross, to love not the world, neither the things of the world, but to have the love of the Father in us. Some of the things are just hard to get our minds around. The sovereignty of God. God, why are you allowing me in this situation? And no, it's not something I did. And no, it's not the attack of the enemy. It's because God says, this is what I need to do in your life in order to fulfill my purposes in you. That is tough. Election and predestination. I'm not going down that road, but Jesus said, no one comes to me except my Father who has sent me draws him, and all that my Father gives me come to me. That's tough to get our minds around the sovereignty of God and his election. Separation from the world. No, I don't want you to live like that. No, you shouldn't dress like that. Yes, that is absolutely inappropriate for you to wear. And no, you ought not be watching that movie. And no, that party is not a good place for you to be. And no, you ought not use that language. That's unholy. And I've called you to be holy. Those things are tough. And that's the place where a lot of people do not continue, just like these Jews who were offended in Jesus. It's the point where the rubber meets the road and we're called to make a choice to take the cross and follow him or go find some feel-good church who will always tickle our ears. The ears destined to be engulfed in flames one day. Tickle them all the way to the pit of hell. The road to hell is paved with good intentions and a lot of warm, fuzzy feelings. So if when the word of God challenges me, I can do one of two things. I can take up the cross and follow Christ, or I can run from the cross and find someone who will make me feel better about it. God help us to embrace the cross and to follow Christ. And that leads us to step number three, which is swallowing. Swallowing. This is where we own it. When you swallow, you own it. You know what I'm saying? Long as you're tasting something, you can always spit it out. Chew on that thing, the juices come out. I don't like that. No, that's not mine. I tasted that. Don't like that. Forget about it. That's where the cross is. That's where the crossroads is. But baby, once you swallow that thing, man, you own it. It's gone. It's in you. That's the point of commitment. That's the point of choice. That's where you begin to walk it out, where you taste it, you meditate upon it, you've considered it and smelled it, and now you say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'll walk it out, and you begin to obey. That's when you take the word and you own it for yourself and you begin to apply it in your life. You begin to walk it out in the day by day by day, for better or for worse, for glory or for dishonor, whatever it costs. I'm owning it for me. I'll swallow it and make it mine. It's you and me, Lord. I have burned the bridges behind me. Take this world and give me Jesus. I have decided to follow him. Praise God. James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. And just like food, you can taste it all day long. You can put as much food in your mouth as you want all day long and just savor it and roll it around and get those juices and get that flavor. But if you do not swallow it, you will die. You will starve. I'm serious, man. You can wings, steak, cheeseburger, I don't know, whatever floats your boat, you know, Caesar salad. Some guys are, you know, a little more sophisticated than me. You can put that stuff in your mouth all day long. Until you swallow, you get nothing, and you will starve to death. But when you swallow, then that food can do something for you. Just the same thing with the Word of God. You can taste it. You can come to church every Sunday. You can come to Bible study. You can read. You can participate in communion. You can come to the baseball game and watch the football game and go out on a work party and fix this thing and share, give tracts out to that thing. But until your heart surrenders to Christ, and when God puts his finger on your heart and says, this is what I want, until that day when you said, okay, God, it's yours, you haven't swallowed. And it's not going to do anything for you. You're only tasting. You'll starve to death. You got to own it. You got to say, yes, God. Your servant hears, and I will obey. Praise God. James 2:18 says, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Faith without works is dead. It doesn't mean that they're interchangeable. If I have genuine faith in my heart, it will show itself in my life. Faith will generate fruit. Faith is what saves us, but if it's true faith, it will show itself through the good works that it produces. And through the life of holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. God calls us to walk in holiness before him in reverence. And I think the church in America has lost that almost to the point of extinction. You turn on the TV and you don't hear anything about holiness. You don't hear anything about a life consecrated to God. The beauty of holiness. The wholesomeness and the health of holiness. Praise God. Number five, you got smelling, tasting, chewing, swallowing. Number five, digestion. This is where all the nutrients and minerals and goodness that's in that food that we just consumed gets into our body and actually begins to impart life to our bones and our flesh. Digestion. If we will consider it and taste it, if we will then do it and eat it and swallow it, we will find that we are beginning to be transformed by it. Suddenly people will say to us, you're different. I don't know what happened to you, but there's something different about you. And the longer we go, the more we're conformed from glory to glory into the image of Christ. I'm not the man I was 20 years ago. Praise God, I hope not to be the man that I will be 20 years from now. It's a perpetual process of being transformed into the image and glory of God. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's hope, man. We're not just spinning our wheels here. We're not just coming here in futility or vanity, just spinning our wheels thinking that something's going to happen and coming out short every day of the week, every Sunday of the year. There is transformation taking place if we are truly feeding on Christ, and that means we have the hope of glory to come. God has something he's doing in us that's going to shine with beauty and radiance and majesty when he gets done. Man, I want to feast on that. I want to be filled with that. I want to be changed by that. I want the strength that it brings. I want the health that it brings. I want the wholeness that it brings. Because I remember what it was like to be weak and broken and unwhole and sick. And I've tasted the goodness of the Lord, and I want to grow in him. That's feeding upon Christ. You guys ready to eat? Are you hungry yet? You ready to drink in that aroma and let it fill your head with its intoxicating fumes? Are you ready to let it to taste the sweetness and the beauty and the goodness of God and let it just saturate your palate? Are you ready to chew on the solid food? Are you ready to be challenged by the Word of God? Are you willing to yield to Him and surrender so that you own it for yourself and say, "Yes, Lord, here I am, take me"? And are you ready for God to change you into something that you have not even begun to imagine how beautiful it is? Are you ready to be transformed? Are you ready for God to take your life and mold you into a vessel for His glory? Praise God. Let's bring the children in. Because as we take communion today, we're going to be celebrating in a tangible form this spiritual reality of what Christ wants to do in us when we feed and feast upon Him. It's just a picture of us. It's a picture of a spiritual reality. Just like baptism is a picture of a spiritual reality. The Lord's Supper is a picture of a spiritual reality. And we partake of that. We're saying by faith, "Lord, I want to feast upon You. I want to be changed by You. I want to devour You because You are health to my bones and life to my flesh." So we're going to get ready to celebrate. And we're going to, as we come up here, I would just encourage you that as you take these elements of communion, that you would say to the Lord, as you're partaking of them, that you would say, "Yes, Lord, give me the grace whereby I can feast upon You and be changed. Whatever it takes, God, challenge me. Transform me and change me into Your image." Now, I want to go back as they're coming in to those two questions we asked earlier. What do you want from Jesus? As you think about those things that came to your mind, and I'm not saying this in any condescending way. I'm not doing this to offend you or anything like that. But ask yourself this question and be challenged by this question. When I asked you, "What do you want from Jesus?" did the things that came to your mind, were they the bread of this world that perishes, that doesn't last? Or are they the bread that comes from heaven that endures to everlasting life? And what does Jesus want from you? Because, you know, if we will set our hearts to give to Him the thing that He desires from us, we don't have to worry about the other stuff. Those other things that occupy our thoughts that we worry about, "Wow, I really would like money for the mortgage next month because it doesn't look like it's going to come up. Man, I really would like a car that doesn't leave me on the side of the road. Man, I really love some new clothes. I can see light shining through my shirts before I put them on." You know what? If we will be about pursuing the things of God that Christ wants from us, He'll take care of that other stuff. He will supply those other things. Jesus said, Matthew 6:31, "Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. But your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things be added unto you." He'll take care of the rest. So when we take communion, let's say to the Lord, "Yes, Lord, here I am. Take me and all these other things that have occupied my mind. This bread that does not last, that simply perishes with the use. Lord, I'll just trust it to You. You're my daddy. I know You'll take care of me. I know You'll take care of me. I know You will care for me because You are a good Father. And so I'll be about Your business." Praise God. Did she say she was full? That's prophetic, man. Praise God. Sounded like it anyway. Let me say this before we begin. The Lord's Supper is a celebration for Christians. It's where we celebrate in symbolic form the salvation that Christ has given to us, that He purchased for us with His body and His blood when He hung on the cross and after He rose from the dead. So if you are a Christian today, if you have received Christ as your Lord and Savior by faith, and you are trusting in Him and Him alone for your salvation, we welcome you to participate in this celebration and celebrate what God has done for you. As far as children are concerned, I will leave this in the hands of the parents. If you think your child has an understanding of what these elements represent, and you want them to celebrate that with you, I say by all means, let them do that. But if you're not sure, if you don't think they really know what it means, I would say it's better for you, according to Scripture, to maybe just let them sit this out then and not participate in that until they have an understanding of what they're doing. I'm not going to, catechize anybody at the table. I'll just leave that to the discretion of the parents. But it bears saying. It bears saying. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. In my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Praise God. And in your hearts, I would invite you to feast upon the Lord, to say yes to him and to taste his goodness and to own him for yourself. Can I just say this word of encouragement before we close? If there's anything that I said today that has challenged you, please know this. We serve a tender, gracious, compassionate God. And yes, he calls us to take up our cross and follow him. And yes, he calls us to walk a road which we said last week is difficult. But he is tender. And I don't know a love in this world that compares to the love of our Father. And when he calls us to walk that road, he walks with us. He doesn't simply go, there's the road, walk it. He puts his arm around us and he holds us close. And he leans his head against ours and he whispers in our ear, here's the road. Let's walk. Let's go together. I'll hold you up and I'll give you strength. And no matter what we encounter on this road, know this, I'm not going away. I'll be with you every step of the way. So if there's anything I've said that's challenged you today, please be encouraged that our God is not a cruel God or a hard taskmaster. He's the dearest, most cherished friend we could have in this world. And he loves us passionately, and he is tender and full of mercy. And he just wants you to know his heart. He just wants you to know him. And you'll find that it's beautiful. No regrets following Christ. No regrets.